There's my voice. All right, so our series called Praying Like Paul. We're in Philippians chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11. We'll finish this this section out today, talking about why we want to pray according to this desire to abound in love. So Paul doesn't just pray for them to abound in love and move on. He gives a basis for that and how we should abound in love. And then what is the outcome of that? What's the purpose? And both for those that we are loving, showing love to, and also rewards that come to us for how we love. And so that's, you know, that's kind of a backside that we don't often think about. And the object of our love is to do good, not to get rewards. But as we do, we receive reward. And that's the way it is so much of the Christian life. We're not doing it to get crowns in heaven, so to speak. We're doing it because it should be done. Because it is an outgrowth of who we are in Jesus Christ. It's an outgrowth of what God has done in us. And there's one minister said, and I've quoted this, I don't know for how many dozens of years, God didn't save us to take us to heaven. Or as soon as you got born again, zap, you'd be out of here. He saved us to do good works. Verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. Saved by grace through faith. Why? That we might be, as it says, we are the poem of him, we are his artistic expression, created to do good works, which he has prepared beforehand that we should do. So he's got good works out there for us to do, but we got to walk through it. And so part of that is Paul's framing in this prayer. If all of that was just an outgrowth of being saved without instruction, there wouldn't be any. We'd just all be loving. And I know, we look around at each other and we say, oh, we're all loving. And we are. You know, but there are a few people in this world, maybe a few people we know, a few people who are family, that are hard to love. How many will say, yeah, there's some people that are hard to love. They can be believers, and they can be unbelievers. And so what Paul prays isn't just that we love the brothers. He says that we might abound in love. And so that's the first thing he prays in here, and we've been talking about that. And this is Paul's desire for the church. He didn't go into a long teaching about how they could do this. He prayed that they could do this. So this is not just a natural outgrowth of being born again. The capacity to do it is in us, but we got to release it. And sometimes it is released by the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Sometimes it's released through teaching. But here Paul wants to believe that it will be released through praying, that he's praying for these believers to abound in love. And so if that's God's desire, as God has put it in Paul's heart, then if he prayed this for believers, then shouldn't we? And we don't just pray this for believers, we pray it for unbelievers. Because he didn't say just love believers. But we also pray it for ourselves. I can pray this prayer for myself. In fact, I need to. I do. And if I've ever been unloving, which I know I haven't been, I know that's never happened. Quiet on the side over here. But if I've ever been unloving, then I'm not allowing this to flow out of me. So follow us with the prayer. I've broken it down. It's like I did last week, but I broke it down into these various statements that come. Let's read the verse first. And it is my prayer, or this I am praying, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve or display what is excellent, the very best. I'm not just praying good for people. I want to pray the very best thing. But in order for me to pray the very best thing, God's got to reveal it to me. And so that's the knowledge and discernment. And when I do, then I will be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So there's a purpose in me praying this way and in living this kind of love so that I will be sincere or pure and blameless on the day of Christ. Now, I'm going to be there on the day of Christ, but here's the second part of that, filled with the fruit of righteousness. So the more I live my life in love, the more I give myself to this kind of love, the more I receive help and instruction from God, I'll be able to live with a sincere and blameless life. And then, because I've lived that way, I will be filled with fruits of righteousness. And so the outgrowth of this prayer is not just for the object of my love, but it is also for me to be filled with fruits of righteousness. We will all stand before the Lord. And we'll talk more about this here in our lesson. We're all going to stand before the Lord on the day of rewards, the Bema seat of Christ, where we will be rewarded for things we have done in this life and things we have not, which we won't get reward for. So there will be reward or loss of reward. And it will depend on not only what we've done, but the attitude with which we've done it. So if you just go through the motions, there's no reward for that. The reward is because you did it out of love. You did it with a sincere heart. You did it with blameless actions. And you did it to glorify God, not to bring attention to yourself. So we'll talk more about that here toward the end of our lesson. And so there, in that statement, abounding in love will allow us to display what is excellent. Abounding in love will lead those who are praying this way to be sincere and blameless. So the people I'm praying for are going to be able to live a sincere and blameless life. I'm praying for myself. I'll be able to do what? Live a sincere and blameless heart life. Abounding in love will result in fruits of righteousness. And I will talk about this is not the fruit of the Spirit. This is fruits of righteous living, outgrowth of the righteousness that's inside of us. And all of this is done to what? To the glory and praise of God. So the rewards aren't for me, they're for Him. The love I display is not just for them, it's the glory and praise of God. So let's look at this. Filled with the fruits of righteousness is the phrase that we're looking at, verse 11. Filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So I've left one phrase at the end of verse 9 out toward the end of the lesson. That is for the day of Christ. And we'll talk more about that toward the end. So I've moved that down to the end. So we're going to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Abounding in love, as I stated, does not only bring blessing in this life to those I've prayed for and to me. It brings blessing in this life, and that's good. And we want people to receive love, and I want to be able to express love with a sincere and blameless life. I don't want it to be fake, which is the opposite of the word sincere. It's either it's real or it's fake. It's pure, as we talked last week, judged by the Son. It's been removed of all impurities, or else it's covered over. It's hidden with a mask. I don't want to be fake. I don't want to wear a mask. I don't want my love to just be kind of an outside thing. Yeah, I love you. And inside I'm thinking, no, I really don't. I know none of you have that problem. But sometimes I go through it, so pray for me. I want to be able to love genuinely and not under a mask. But sometimes, how many of you have ever known that somebody is saying they love you, but you know it's not really genuine? You know, sometimes it's just words. I don't want it to just be words. I want it to be real. sincere, judged by the Son. And that doesn't mean the S-U-N. We're talking about judged by the Son, S-O-N. We need the Lord to judge our hearts. And then also that we're blameless, that we're not just wanting it for somebody, but we're acting it out. We're not just saying, well, it's in my heart. You know, I love them in my heart. But my actions aren't showing it. That's not good. So, that we might be sincere and blameless. That who's the we? The we are the people that's praying. The we are the people who are abounding in love. I want to abound in love so that I will show that I'm being sincere and blameless. I want to draw from the love that God is expressing through me. And when I do, then I'm also filled with the fruits of righteousness, which, as my next point says, not only does it bless those that I am, quote, loving, but it also brings reward to me. I'm not doing it for the reward, like I said, but the reward comes. It's just a result of doing the right thing. Like I said last week, you put all the right ingredients in, and the cake is right. I made a cake this past week, just really good cake, Kentucky butter cake. It's so rich, it knocks you out. You need a shot of insulin after you've eaten the cake. And it's not good for people who have a cholesterol issue because it's filled with butter. That's why it's called Kentucky butter cake, yeah. So, but if you don't put all the ingredients in right, it's not going to come out right. And so I do all the right ingredients, but I don't make it right. It's made right because I did the right things. It's just a result of what I did. And loving in a right attitude and with the right actions, because I've discerned from the Lord what I should do, brings results, not just for them, but rewards for us. And so look at the words down at the bottom of your page, filled with the fruits of righteousness. But the Greek word filled with comes from the word plerao, also expressed many places in the New Testament, pleroma, which means to be filled up. And we have been filled with salvation, that we have been filled with Christ, that we have been placed in Christ and have been fulfilled in Him. And so that's a beautiful word, pleroma, but here it's in a different form, and it means that I am filled up. But don't think of volume. There's another Greek word for being filled up as far as volume. This is being filled as of a condition that I am completed in a sense. The difference between filling a glass with water and putting the water in a bucket of water. They're both filled, but the one is just filled up and the other is completed because there's not just water in it, there's water around it. It's the words that's used for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. It's not just a quantity. Praise God, I got the Holy Spirit, but I'm about a half a quart low. You know, I need to get a little bit more. You know, God just gives me a little bit more. But no, it's not a volume. It's the fact that I am buried with Christ in death, but I'm also buried with Him in life. I have been made alive in Christ. I am in Him who is the fullness of everything that God has desired. You can come in. Is the door open? Yeah. And so that's all right. Come on in. And so this is the way that we are filled. It's that I've got as much of it as possible, not just in me, but expressed by me. And so when you think of the verse in Ephesians chapter 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. We are to be filled with the Spirit instead of being drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. So the word filled there isn't just a volume. It's to be in that capacity. The Greek phrase means to be controlled by. We would almost say possessed by. To be possessed by the Spirit, not just in me, but literally controlling my life. Well, here, what Paul is praying is that as we abound in love, as we are expressing and displaying this love with a sincere heart and blameless actions, that we are going to be filled with fruits of righteousness. There's going to be an abundance of righteousness, fruits of righteousness that are given to us, that are received by us. And we'll talk about why in just a little bit. Bottom of your page, so that the manner and the attitude, the actions by which our love is expressed, is the key to the reward, not the result. So this fruit of righteousness being filled is the key to the best, to the reward that God wants to give. Can a believer go through life, believed in Jesus Christ, can they go through life, get to heaven with no rewards? Yes. But that's not what I want. I want fruits of righteousness. So this seeking the best is the way that I reach this place. But I don't get there if my heart is not sincere and my actions are not blameless. Because if that's the case, no reward. I did it, and it might have helped the person that I did it for. So I can be loving to people and it blesses them, but if my heart's wrong, there's no reward. It's just like in giving. If the reason that you're giving is just to get the abundance that comes afterwards, or you're just giving so that people see that you're participating, there's no reward. Because you're not giving it with a true heart. The heart has to be involved. And then it doesn't matter how much you give. It doesn't matter who you give to. There's reward because your heart is right before God. If the people you're giving to waste what you've given, or misuse it, or abuse it, do you lose a reward? No, because you gave with a right heart. And so this is the key to how we want to give. The little widow, a good example, a very common example. She gave with a right heart. Just because the Pharisees and the Sadducees used the temple money in a wrong way did not remove her from receiving reward. And so this is what we want. Now, the next state, top of your next page, column, is the fruits of righteousness. I'm filled with not fruits of the Spirit. That comes because who I am in Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is an expression of what God has done in saving me. So love, joy, peace, da-da-da-da-da. I lose control after it comes to that. I've said that for over 40 years, but they just disappear from me. But maybe some of you got that down, but not me yet. But those things are the result of the Holy Spirit being in me. And because when we got saved, the Spirit of God moved in, recreated our inner man in his image and likeness, and I am in the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit is in there. Now, I just need to express it. All right, and so the fruit of the Spirit is not just there, just like an orange tree has oranges in it, but oranges are no good if they're just in the tree. They need to be on the tree, right? So the fruit of the Spirit needs to be displayed, and that's good. And that's a good thing, but that's not what this verse is about. This is fruits of righteousness. Righteousness has to do with how I am living based on what Christ has done in me. I am living a righteous life. And so righteousness is how I express the righteousness that's in me. How many of you have been made righteous in Jesus Christ? If you've been saved, you're righteous in Christ. Why? Because he made you righteous. Your righteousness is his. But if I don't express it, I still have righteousness, but nobody knows it. I don't want to live secretly with my Christianity or my new birth? You've probably heard this before. Forgive me. I've been teaching for 40 plus years. So after I got saved, I was working at a chemical research company, and I was a chemist under another man who was a professor. And so there were little offices. The doctors of chemistry, they had their offices on the side, and there was an office in between where two of us sat, one for that guy, one for this guy. Well, I worked for the guy on my right, and he was my, in a sense, boss. And so I was given things to do, things that I was supposed to accomplish. I could not do his work, but he left me to do what he told me. But I sat back to back with this other man, Ron. And we were maybe, when we were sitting in our desks, maybe 2 feet apart. Him working on his computer and working on his calculations, me on the other side working on my computer and fumbling through my calculations. But anyway, so we would do that. And we sat back to back for over 6 months before he heard me talking to Jan one day on the phone. And after I talked to her, you know, I prayed with her. Something was going on, and so we prayed, and I prayed in the name of Jesus. And I hung up the phone. This is in the days when we didn't have cell phones. I know that's impossible for some this generation to understand. But I hung up the phone, and he said, Jeff, I didn't know you were a Christian. And I said, well, yeah. And he said, I am too. And so we both rejoiced over the fact we were both Christians. You know, we worked back to back in our office. We worked face to face in the laboratory. I had one side of this big desk. He had the other side. And we would do our experiments together. Sometimes we were back in the lab, the sand lab, where we tested everything together. But neither one of us knew the other was a Christian. That's not good. How could I live with this guy for 6 months and he had no idea that I was a believer? Now you think, well, it's great that you found out he was a believer. Isn't that great? Yeah, but what about my witness for 6 months? Where was my witness till he heard me by accident? If he'd not been in the office at that moment, he wouldn't have heard me. Making, you know, a statement that showed that I was a believer. That's not good. That's not Jeff being filled with the fruits of righteousness. There's no expression of the righteousness that was there. I was righteous. Righteous in Christ Jesus, recreated in his image and likeness. All of that was in me. And maybe I was demonstrating some, not all, of the fruit of the Spirit. But he didn't know that that was because Christ was in me. So fruits of righteousness is how we show the world that we are righteous. Just like the tree shows that it's an orange tree by the fruit that's on it, yes. But that fruit is also there to do something. And the fruit of righteousness is in us so that we can live righteously. We can live toward the world like Christ has lived toward us. He put righteousness in you. How come I don't know it? Why is it not seen? Why is it not expressed? Well, you know, if I do in this day, you know, people write me off. You know, they marginalize me. They sometimes speak against me. They might even hate me. Might even persecute me. So, you know, I kind of keep it silent because I don't want to stir up trouble. How do you know it's going to stir up trouble? Maybe it'll open door to bring them to Christ. And so, isn't that the purpose? That we live our witness? Isn't that what it's called? A witness? The Greek word means to testify even to the point of death. that I'm not going to change what I'm saying. It has to do with speaking. I'm not going to change what I'm saying just because I've been threatened. That's to be a witness. And Jesus said that we will be witnesses. How? When the Spirit has come upon us. So the Spirit's not just in us, He's upon us, but it's up to us to do the witnessing. And so this is what Christ wants out of it. This is what we would call the fruit of the Spirit. The love that we are living, expressing, this Paul's prayer for them to abound in love, still has to be expressed. He didn't stop his prayer with, I'm praying that you would abound in love more and more, and then move on. He put these clauses afterwards, which are definitions and expressions of what he said by abounding in love more and more. So the more I live in this way, the more I'm fulfilling. But notice the next phrase, I'm doing this, these fruits of righteousness are there. Why? Through Jesus Christ. I can't do this myself. It's not me just loving. The world can do that. This is me allowing Christ to love through me. That's fruits of righteousness. Allowing Christ to love others through me. Family, friends, other believers, even others who are unbelievers. Even myself. And so I'm allowing this love to flow through me. The expression of this love. Not just the content. It's in there. Praise God, the love of God is in me. Do I know it? Does your family know it? Do the people that you work with know it? I'm not trying to put condemnation on you, but this is what Paul is praying for. We think of the Philippian church as being one of the most loving churches. There's no real correction that he offered them in here, just these two ladies that were having disagreement. But their disagreement was based on wanting to do something right or something good, and they both had a different opinion on how to do it. And if the one had done it, it would have been good. If the other did, it would have been good. But they didn't see the same way to get it done, and so they were causing a little bit of disturbance, and Paul told the pastor, tell them to get it together. You know, just tell them to come to a place of agreement on this. Stop stirring this up. Okay, anyway. That's really the only thing you credit there. They're a church full of joy. A church full of love. A church in which God was doing great things through them. But then Paul still prays that they abound more and more in love. So, do we ever reach a place? Do we? Where we have finally reached the place of abounding in love? Notice it doesn't say that you have abounded in love. As if it's over and done. You reached your goal. There's no more for you. No. That you continue to abound in love. That there is more for you to express. Why? Because you're meeting different people all the time. Or that person that you were having a hard time with finally, God's love works through you. Maybe they change, maybe they don't. Abounding in love is not based upon the result. It's not based on that they change. It's based on the fact that I did. I loved. I hope the result will bring forth change. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm living for. That's what I'm loving for. That'll bring about a change, but it doesn't matter if they don't. I still want to express that love. As I've shared again many times, my grandfather prayed for me that I would get saved for years. And that was his final prayer and declaration to my grandmother when he passed away. He said, tell Jeff that I love him and I want to see him in heaven. And that was his final prayer for me. He was praying for me to be with him in heaven. And of course, with the Lord. But I didn't get saved. Grandma told me that. But I didn't get saved till four years later. But the result of his prayer happened. It didn't happen when he could see it. And just because we don't see it, you can be loving toward people that you will never meet. but you love them and express that love through the fruits of righteousness. Sincere heart, blameless in your actions, and so that God hopefully will work in their life. But again, remember, all of these things are couched with the word may, because they have to do something too. It doesn't mean it's going to automatically happen. I wish there were people that I could just pray for and like that, they'd be changed. How many have that kind of situation? Yeah, there's people. And I could list them, but I won't. But I want to see them change immediately, but that doesn't always happen. And it might not happen while I'm still here on the earth. Now, I'm believing I'm going in the rapture, so it will happen. But anyway, I want to see these things done. Now, it's all through Jesus Christ, not through me. I can't do this. I can't do this. And besides, the reason it's through Jesus Christ, is my second point, is why? Because then God gets the glory. If I'm doing it in my strength, God gets no glory. But if I'm doing it in the love of Christ, then God gets the glory. So when I'm loving someone, I don't want them to just think, well, isn't Jeff a great guy? Well, and I am. Do you all agree? That's why you laughed, right? I am a great guy. But I'm not just doing it so people say, isn't he great? Isn't he loving? Isn't he wonderful? I'm doing it so that Christ gets the glory. Because maybe in loving them, they may hate me more. Sometimes you love people and your love just makes them angry. And the thing that you're wanting to do in expressing love toward them, in a sense, irritates them to a place of anger and resentment. But I'm still believing that me loving them is going to change. They're going to change. Because I'm not just looking for the fruit that abounds in their life. I'm looking for the fruit that abounds in mine. Why? To the praise and glory of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm doing that. That I'm doing this through Jesus Christ, not through my strength. If it was my strength, I would only look for the glory that comes to me. That they loved it, they accepted it, that they said, I'm a great guy. But I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for him. That it abound to the praise and the glory of Jesus Christ. Now that's the last phrase in the prayer. But I'm going to go back up to the second half of verse 10 that, you know, we didn't talk about. That we be sincere and blameless. And so to be sincere and blameless for or looking toward the day of Christ. This day of Christ. And I've decided that my next course for the evening class on Tuesdays is going to be about the rapture. Because there's so much misunderstanding about end times, what's going on. What I want to do is teach you what the scripture says. You can fit that in with the prophecies that are going forth and the different things that others are saying, and that's fine. I'm just going to share with you the rapture as the scripture reveals it, as I've studied it. Doesn't mean I'm complete in everything because I'm still learning. But that's what we're going to do. That's going to be on Thursday nights. So, well, Thursday night, you know, in another time zone. Yeah. Tuesday, they both begin with a T. You know, so, excuse me, I'm making a mistake, but you love me. All right? So, it's just an opportunity for you to love me, even though I make mistakes. That's just one, I'm sorry. But it's looking for the day of Christ. And the day of Christ has to do with the rapture. The day of the Lord has to do with the second coming. And there are distinct differences, and we'll talk about that in that class. But I've also got material to help you. I didn't put down all the verses that show that these are different. But if you look in your Bible for the references for the day of Christ or day of the Lord, you'll see that they're very different. The day of Christ is a day of joy. It's a day of rejoicing. It's private. It's only for those who are believers. It's the time when we are fully changed into His glorious image. Outwardly, not just inwardly. It's the time when we are taken out of this earth so that we can stand before Him and receive rewards. So it's a day of reward. It's a day of the demonstration of grace. It's a day of the demonstration of our expression of what we have done for the Lord. Our rewards are not based on us. They're based on what we have done with what He has given us. We're rewarded for how we have used what He has given to us. That's the rewards that we receive. And it's before a place called the Bema Seat of Christ, or the reward bench. And the reward bench was a place where athletes or warriors or those who served well in civil government would take a step up to this bench and be rewarded for what they have done. If the soldier had fallen in battle, it was just his name or maybe his shield that was there. But he was still rewarded. And so the idea is that we have given ourselves, and this is the word that Paul chooses to talk about, the day of Christ. This day is for the church only. Has nothing to do with unbelievers. And as we'll talk about as we talk more about the rapture, we're taken out. And the reward bench takes place secretly in heaven. The world doesn't even know. All they know is we were here and then we're gone. And the confusion begins in their life, but that also begins a time of great trouble called the tribulation. And that lasts for 7 years. And at the end of that horrible time of judgment and the pouring out of God's wrath upon the earth, so that not only people, but even the earth itself is convulsed, so that, in a sense, God is purifying the earth so that it's ready for the millennium. And so those 7 years, believers or people on the earth and the earth itself is convulsed, is troubled, turmoil, all kinds of things that are beyond our imagination that take place during that time of the tribulation. It's the pouring out of God's wrath. It even talks about the wrath of the Lamb. I thought the Lamb was gentle and wonderful and loving and caring. And yeah, but to those who are on the earth who have not received Him, it is wrath. And so they will endure that. Meanwhile, we're being rewarded. Now, I don't know when in that 7 years, because all the Revelation chapters 6 through 19 talk about is what's going on the earth. Very few little examples of what's going on in heaven. But I don't know where the reward bench takes place. You know, one day with the Lord is, you know, 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. So we're just, we have to be 7 years, you know, but we just want to be there with the Lord. And somewhere in there is this rewards that comes to us. Now, I hope that the great part of that is not taking up with God going through my stuff and saying, you know, this was good, this is good, you know, filtering out, you know, and here's the rewards that you get and here's all the stuff that you lost. Because it does show you that. And so we will, in a sense, but yeah, it's not all before you. But He might not have a lot of time left for you. And because it says we will be judged for what we've done, good or bad. Paul, why did you have to put that verse in there? Couldn't you just left out the last phrase? The bad thing? Can I just drop that out? It's not in my translation. You know, so, yeah, it is. The day of Christ. But then there's also the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is what comes at the end of the tribulation. When all people who are unbelievers and enemies of God will be removed from the earth into Hades. And they'll stay there for 1,000 years. Satan himself will be imprisoned in Hades for 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, all those people who were dead without the Lord will be resurrected to be put into the lake of fire. Now, that's not fun. They'll be raised from Hades to stand judgment before the great white throne and then placed into heaven. And so that's what happens at the end of the 1,000 years. But the day of the Lord is what happens at the beginning of that, the beginning of the millennium. The Lord comes back at the end of the 1,000 years. That's the second coming. Then takes place the 1,000 years, and then takes place the great white throne. And so I'm not going to be there. I don't know how much we'll watch. I don't know how much we will be aware of that. I know 1,000 years we're going to be doing something for God, but we are forever His. There'll be no change for us. We are forever with the Lord. There are people 1,000 years who are on the earth who are going to become believers, and there are people who will not. And so this is a difference. So the day of Christ is a day of joy and a day of welcome. The day of great comfort for us because we've been removed from all the pressures of this world. The day of the Lord is a day of wrath. Big difference. And the day of wrath comes 7 years after the rapture. So that's something, again, that we will be talking more about in my evening class on Tuesdays. Right? So I got it right. So, but that's going to be several weeks from now, maybe a month or so. So, all right? So there it is. Why do I want to do these works? So that I'll be filled with fruits of righteousness, which works toward rewards, which I can do what with? Present to the Lord. My rewards are to be given to Him, so that He is exalted, not me. Amen? So, Father, we just thank You that it is by Your Spirit that You are abounding in us in love. But, Father, we also pray for those, our brothers, our sisters, that they also might abound in love, that they too can find through knowledge and understanding, discernment, they can find what is sincere and blameless and display Your love toward others. And Father, so that we can be filled with fruits of righteousness. Father, there are believers, I know, that they're not living in the fullness of all that You have for them. They're not expressing everything that is in them. And Father, we lift that up before You. I also pray for myself, that I know there are fruits of righteousness that need to be displayed. And Father, I pray that You will do that in me and for all of those who are here today. And we pray this, Father, in the name of Jesus, that as we live this way, we might be a demonstration to the world, drawing them to You, that Your name be glorified in all this earth. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.